Hello everyone and welcome to our call today called Maximize Success in Business with Sole Contracts. My name is Damien Sen and it's a great pleasure having you on the line today. In a few moments from now, I'll be introducing our very special guest, Nicholas David Nan. But before I do, please allow me to share how this call will work today, particularly if this is your first peopleyoushouldmeet.com call that you've tuned into. Now, we're going to be on the call for around about an hour, and over the course of the hour, I'll be asking Nicholas a whole series of different questions on our topic. Some of the questions will be my own, but the vast majority of questions will have actually been submitted in through our site by you, our listeners. Now, this is the second time that I've had Nicholas on the People You Should Meet program, and the first time I had Nicholas talk about sole contracts, the feedback was so overwhelming that I knew that we had to continue our conversation and go further into the whole arena of sole contracts. Nicholas was responsible for bringing sole contract reading work to the UK and has expanded it enormously with his business partner, Almira Ariel Heller. Nicholas's purpose on planet Earth is to empower others and to hold the space for them to manifest their divine purpose. And with that, it gives me great pleasure to welcome to the call our very special guest and my very dear friend, Nicholas David Nan. How are you doing there, Nicholas?
Hi, Damien. It's great to be on the call again to share this amazing information with people.
Cool. Well, welcome.
Really looking forward to it.
Cool. Me too. Now, Nicholas, I thought I'd just begin us at the top by asking, you know, what exactly is a sole contract and how can it actually help people maximise their success in business?
The sole contract is a set of frequencies laid down in the creation of the birth certificate name by the soul and a set of vibrations that sits in your DNA. And what it does is that through the law of attraction, which most people are familiar with, it radiates out to the matrix, to the reality, to create your life in each moment. And the soul selects a specific set of frequencies based on its previous experience, and it basically wants to create an experience of going to sleep in this matrix, in this earthly reality, and then through the process of life, awaken and re-experience itself as divine, as all it is, through the process of life. And so when the name is fully registered on the birth certificate, that contract is fully activated. And there are various components of it, which I'll go through. We have a physical and a spiritual aspect of our life. And within each of these aspects, we have three sort of sub-aspects, and they're called karma, which most people are familiar with, talents and goals, or in a more 3D term, we call them challenges, abilities and drives in a business sense. And so the soul lays in specific sets of karmic patterns or challenges purely as a context for the brand new conscious ego personality expression, which is created as an experiment in consciousness, to work through and overcome. And what's happening here is that the challenges we face are only there to help bring our gifts to the forefront. For example, I was very shy as a child. And the only reason that was there was so I could learn to communicate and become a teacher and to share knowledge with people. It wasn't there to sort of stop me. So those challenges or karmic patterns are put in place, and then we bring our latent abilities or talents up into consciousness to overcome those karmic patterns if they're a good match. And as we work through them and the talents get stronger, that enables us to move on to work towards our underlying drives or goals in life, the very deep feeling of what we really want to express here on Earth. And so we have karma, talents and goals in both the physical and the spiritual aspects of our energies. And when we blend all those six aspects, we get what's called the soul destiny, the overall purpose for being here, or life purpose. You know, and if we, as we start to move towards that, life becomes more fulfilling for us. So that's sort of the essence of what a soul contract is, and it underpins the creation of our life from the time we're born to the time we ascend or physically die, whatever comes first.
Mm.
and in understanding that pattern, that program our souls put in place, that enables us to navigate our life much more easily, because initially we become unconscious, not aware of what's creating what's going on, and often we head off in directions which aren't in alignment with the soul, which creates, you know, even bigger challenges, because when we're not in alignment with who we are, life gets hard. When we are in alignment, which is what this interview is about, then things flow much more with grace and ease.
Excellent. Look, so many points in there, Nicholas, that I want to pick up on, but I just wanted to start with, before I go deeper into the material, is just by finding out how you actually came across soul contract work, and what was it that inspired you to actually take this work and share it with the world?
Well, back in 1990, I was drawn to go to the States for the first time and to study with a teacher called Frank Alper, who channeled through this Hebrew numerology, which I've rebranded as soul contract reading to make it more accessible. And early on, Frank gave me a reading of my name, and I'll never forget that, sitting in that hotel room, and he had drawn out all the charts and everything, and he named the truth of my life for the very first time, all the different disparate experiences I've been through, which I couldn't put together. There was just all these weird things were going on, and I thought, oh, my life's chaos. It's just not making sense. I'm feeling lost. And he put it all in order, and he brought into consciousness a lot of aspects which I hadn't fully understood. But when I look back now, I realized that they were actually driving a lot of what was going on for me. So in shining the light of consciousness and truth on what my soul was creating, that enabled me to actually get my life together. Mm. That enabled me to work out, oh, okay, I am here to do teaching and empowering people, and that's what I've come to 20 years later, realizing that. But I could see that at the beginning, I had the opposite of all those, feeling disempowered and not being able to communicate. And he explained why that was the case. So I thought, okay, I'm okay as I am. It's not, something hasn't gone badly wrong.
Mm.
And from that experience, I had this. I was motivated to say, well, I want to learn how to do this, and I want to share it with others. And that was a major turning point for me, that reading.
Mm. Well, and you mentioned that you had the opposite of the gifts and talents that you've come in to bring the world. And do you think that's, like, you've done thousands of readings. Is that true for most people, that they come in and experience the complete opposite to then turn around and discover their talents and offer them to the world?
Yeah, this is the called the law of opposites. It's the nature of the matrix of the earthly reality. We come in unconscious, forgetting that we are divine. And so through the process of life, we create a context for us to discover who we are. If we didn't have a contrasting opposite of, say, of disempowerment in our life, say having a hard time with your parents as a kid, then we wouldn't know what it would be like to come into using our power properly. And most people, well, some people, well, a lot of people misinterpret this as saying life is doing them and it's being done to me. But actually, all the soul is doing is creating that context so we can say, okay, I want to be in my power, enough of this, let's work through this, let's claim our power. And once that layer, each layer of power is reclaimed, then that context disappears, because you can't know hot without cold, you can't know light without dark.
Mm.
It's the same idea. Otherwise, there's no relative comparison point without this context. And so we value, when we work through a negative context, what we have claimed. I value my feeling of being more empowered, being a good communicator now, which I wouldn't have if I hadn't had to work through it over many years. It was probably been 20 years I've been working on this. So that then becomes the tool for me to work with others. That's my gift, which I can offer the world.
And I guess just sort of exploring this global context, I mean, lots of people actually suggest that we're in a period of mass awakening on planet Earth, and the level of consciousness is rising. And like, are you finding that people are actually discovering that they are in that, as you mentioned earlier, like asleep and then finally awakening to discover their talents that have been there all along?
Yes, there's a lot of people are waking up. What we call service souls or light workers are waking up very quickly and suddenly say, "Whoa, what's going on here?" And it's something important for me to do. I can really feel it deep inside. And what I'm doing now is not quite it. I can feel the drive, and they go searching for this deep purpose, and they can't necessarily put I can't articulate it necessarily, but they know it's there, and they know it's not in what they're doing exactly at the moment. And so they go searching for this this deep urge, and that's a push from the soul to really awaken and to work through the context we've just been talking about, and to bring the soul's gifts through the human personality expression into the world, because that's actually why we all come. We come to share our gifts with each other in this overall joint awakening, because we're all little sparks of the divine, which have embodied and are awakening and mutually helping each other all awaken, because we're actually all interconnected, ultimately.
And I was just wondering, Nicholas, one thing I didn't mention in the introduction is that you're by qualification a chemical engineer, and spent a lot of time working in finance, in corporate finance, in the satellite communications industry, and to move from a pretty conventional linear world into sharing your remarkable gifts with the world. I was just wondering if you could actually share a little bit more about that process for yourself in terms of your light soul awakening.
Well, I had been doing this job for about 7 years and in the city, and at the same time I'd been going to the States to train in what I do now. It was more like a hobby then. And then one day I was on holiday, and it was like I was looking at the sunrise. I was in Spain in the mountains. And it just came to me, I can't do this job anymore. It'll kill me if I stay here.
Mm.
And it was like the soul was saying, it's time for the next thing. And I've had these a few times in my life. I knew, okay, it's time to leave. It wasn't a logical, rational process. It was a deep feeling of completion. And so a little bit scary at first, and then it got very scary when I realized that this is I really have to do this. And so I started seriously looking at how do I turn this sort of weekend hobby type thing I was doing into teaching a few workshops and running a few private sessions into actually turning it into a living. And so I turned it into a part-time job, and then to actually start my practice. And then I left England for a while to travel. That was the other thing. It was time to do a bit more traveling, get some more energetic initiations. I went to the Himalayas and to the Andes. And I came back about a year later. And then I started this business, which we didn't call Center for Conscious Association at that time, to start to share this work. The urge was so strong, I just started to share it. And then it built by word of mouth, and built from a place of me having just to totally let go of fear and start to trust. And it's been a real initiation, a real journey to get this new work started here on Earth. But it's been well worthwhile, and I wake up in the morning and I'm really looking forward to whoever I'm going to work with or whatever I'm going to do. It's not a commute anymore on the train. It's just working with something I love doing, I have a lot of passion for.
Great. Now, I know for me personally, in terms of making that transition from working in the corporate world to doing my own thing, there was, lots of fear and trepidation leading up to that letting go process. But it's interesting that you, just in your story, you said it was a gradual process. I know lots of people feel like they have to just be one or the other, but you can actually stagger that transition.
Yeah, I negotiated a part-time contract for about 6 months. I would only work 2 or 3 days a week, a lot of it at home, and then I started to build this business as well. And then I knew that when it was time, I just stopped. And I just did this work, really.
Excellent. Now, another thing that you mentioned, I wanted to explore a bit deeper, is the whole aspect of challenge. Now, I know at different periods in my life, particularly early on in life, I always had this sort of illusory dream that like grass is always greener on the other side, and it's only through evolving and growing that I've seen these challenges as a way to further develop and to bring new opportunities into my life. And I was just wondering, like in terms of just really developing the talents and the drives and the abilities, like are challenges necessary to really bring those through, or is it possible that those things can be cultivated without challenge?
I think that because of the intensity of life here, unless there's something which we have to face, we're probably not going to look at it. It's just the nature of the way the human ecosystem is built. It's just inherent within the reality that we will always initially see the opposite of what we're to become or where we're to go. As I said, there's got to be that context. Some souls are more powerful than others in certain areas, so they will move into their talents and abilities more easily, okay, than others. But each has a unique expression here and has uniquely designed the experience in the matrix accordingly. The key thing is not to see the challenge or the karmic pattern as bad or to judge it, because if you judge something or put a lot of negative energy towards it and saying, I don't want it, by the law of attraction, you'll get more of that. Mm. The law of attraction is always working. It's always on, whether you believe it or not. And so what happens is that the soul has these deep drives at what it wants to create in terms of getting its gift out to the world. Mm. But at the same time, it's programmed into us all the karmic patterns, which are the blockages to that happening, all the context. So basically, we have a push-pull. We have the gift wanting to come out. Then we have more low frequency, call them negative energies if you want, within us, preventing us. It could be feeling unworthy, it could be feeling not fear, it could be lack of trust in something happening. Mm. That also radiates out to the reality, to the matrix, and blocks what is trying to come to us anyway. Mm. So the key actually is to look at the soul contract that you have and to see, well, let's look at what are the things which are blocking me, and then use specific healing processes or workshops or whatever is available, whatever feels right. We've mapped out all the different tools from our own long experience of using this work, about 30 years between Almira and I, to actually break through this as easily as possible, okay? Mm. But it takes spiritual will to actually do that. But if we focus on where we want to go in terms of the deep feeling of the gift we want to offer, which is in the soul destiny or the life purpose, and then we start to push towards that with using a law of attraction, focusing on it happening, what that will do is that will push out all the programming in the way of it happening. And then we go off and use healing tools to clear those programs. Mm. And then we go back and focus on where we want to go. Because what can happen is that on this path is that often, I've done this myself, we focus on all the things which aren't right in our life. And then we forget about all the things, all those gifts of love which actually are working. And because we focus on what's not working, we get more of it. And so we probably double the amount of clearing and effort we need to make to actually get to where we want. So it's a twofold process of staying conscious of where we're going, keeping focused on that, and at the same time putting enough consciousness and effort and energy into the things which are in the way, which are coming up, to be cleared. But eventually, what happens is that it's not an endless process. What happens is that when we clear enough of the programming out of the ego, of the karmic patterns, we reach a stage of what we call emotional integration, or our miracle of emotional mastery, where we're more in a state of bliss and centeredness for more and more of the time. And then we have little blips. We have little layers of separation come out, the layers of fear, and then we recenter back to where we want to go. And that actually is the key point, is to get to that point of emotional mastery or integration. Because when you've got to that point, then the gift that you have come here to deliver really starts to come forth, because your personality is clear enough. You've worked through enough of the context or the karmic patterns to be able to value your gift and then really want to share it in your service here, which is why you came.
And I guess for people who do step into that service role, for most of them, that they would have actually reached that stage of emotional integration?
To various degrees, okay? It depends on our role here. Some of us have heavier karmic loads than others because of what we're here to bring. The more powerful the soul, usually the greater the load, because the soul needs to have that human experience so it can relate to other people they're going to work with. In terms of they know what it's like to have that level of emotional pain or that issue, therefore people will come to them because they have the resonance of having worked it through. Otherwise, it's just an idea. It's an idea, a concept, and it's something which can't be connected to unless you've actually had the experience yourself.
And one other thing you mentioned there, Nicholas, I know this will probably ring true for lots of people, is that the feeling of some kind of program running or some kind of karmic pattern. Lots of people seem to be aware of it, like a karmic pattern that's running through their life. And it was just interesting to hear you mention that that you've actually mapped a lot of these karmic patterns to actually specific healing techniques and modalities. So people can actually, first of all, become conscious of those karmic patterns, and then secondly, actually bring the healing necessary to shift them.
Yeah, there are 22 Hebrew letters we use to phonetically match the name and birth certificate name in whatever language it's in. And so there are 22 different karmic patterns you can have in either spiritual or physical karmic aspect of a chart. So yes, it's all clearly known. There's an order to the karmic pattern. It's not just the universe throwing stuff at you. It's actually something you're drawing to you to overcome and turn it into gold, turn it into a gift. So yes, it's all understood. It can all be mapped, and it can all be worked with. The question is, if someone is conscious enough and willing enough to do that, because they've got to really have the spiritual will to do that. Because if they don't, then it won't shift. But if we understand that it's not some sort of punishment, it's just a context, then it makes it a lot easier. It takes a lot of charge out of it, then we can get on with it, really, and bring that gift forward that we actually have inside us.
Absolutely. Now, another thing that I wanted to touch on, like lots of business gurus actually spend a lot of time focusing on the external reality, and whether it's marketing, sales, balance sheets, profit and loss, all that sort of thing. But very few people are actually talking about the internal work that's necessary in business to grow and to be of service to humanity. And I was just wondering, are both of these aspects equally important, or is the internal more important than the external, or vice versa?
Let's talk about that. A business is an external manifestation of your own inner process of actualizing and coming into the world in your service. That's the business owner. And so if a business owner is consciously, through the process we've just been talking about, aligning to their soul destiny through self-healing, raising their consciousness, then what happens is the business and the owner become, they are one. Okay, business is not just some external process going on. And they are actually a hologram. And the definition of a hologram is that you can take any part of the hologram and it represents the whole. So if you're doing really well and you're really clear and you're working on your issues, then your business will do well. Okay. If you're having, say, an issue of lack of trust in the flow or feeling unworthy, then your business cash flow will drop because of that. And so working on your own internal issues is key, for especially for a spiritual business, to actually function, because the external manifestation is very sensitive to the internal state you're in. If you try to expand your external business through normal business processes, then you internally will have to also grow and remove any blockages to the expansion happening within you. Otherwise, it won't happen. And so what happens is that the business is a natural extension of who you are, and the energy flows from your birth name, which is the foundation of who you are. It's sort of like, call it like the cake of your life, and it flows out into your current name, or preferably optimal name, and by that I mean a name which is going to help you work through the karmic and goal issue that's going to help you actualize your soul destiny. And if there's a direct connection between, if there's an energetic connection between your birth and optimal names into the first business name, which is the legal name you call the business, and then from there into the trading names, products, services, website addresses, and email addresses, all forms of vibration, which through the law of attraction, draw customers to you, then the business will flourish. If there's a disconnect between who you are and the energies of the business, then the business won't function so well. Doesn't mean it won't work, but it won't be function optimally. Because the business is there to help you as the owner to manifest your soul purpose, your divine purpose. So the very crux of the business is you, so that's a bit more important than the actual business itself. Because if you're not in good shape, the business won't be in good shape. But you know, the business will influence you. You have to expand as it expands. All right, so the process that we talk about in terms of maximizing success in the business is to get everything lined up. So, for example, you're here to share unity consciousness. Then you would have to have that frequency running from your birth name, or at least from your optimal name, out into the business energies and out into all the products and services. And then by the law of attraction, everyone who is to work with you in the niche market you're addressing will then be drawn to you to do business with you. And if you are, say you're a more 3D consulting business, then you would want to have a lot more power in your name, and you'd also want to have it in the business name so the right sort of people could feel that you're strong enough to actually deliver that service. So there has to be an entire alignment of the attracting frequency to the right customers to draw them in. And when it's all lined up, the business flows much more easily. We found that in naming the Center for Conscious Ascension, it took us about 3 goes to get the name right. But we understood that finally from that trial and error process that feeding unity consciousness and heart opening and magnetizing like-minded people to us, that was the key. And all the way down to our website names, and this goes above and beyond normal search engine optimization strategies. We now have people come to us because the frequency of the essence of who our mirror and I transmits through our optimal names, through the Center for Conscious Ascension name and the website name. And people come to us cold, as if their best friend recommended them to us. And you know, David Daniels has told me in his courses that it takes an average of 3 contacts with a business before someone has enough trust to actually do business. The majority of people who come to us, they want to do business immediately because the trust has been built by transmitting the right attracting frequency. So it cuts down a lot of the lead time, and it only draws the right people who want to work with us, because we have decided who that niche market is, which is people who really want to awaken. And so basically, because we're aligned and they're aligned with it, everything flows much more easily. We can share our gifts. It helps them awaken their gifts, and everyone is fulfilled and happier. They're moving forward in their life on their soul purpose, which is, you know, that's our job, is to help people awaken and to manifest their purpose.
It's really interesting, actually, hearing you say that. I guess traditionally lots of people have this concept of work-life balance, where there's your personal life and then there's your working life, whether it be in business or career. And I guess in seeing them in that way, there's that segregation or that separation from the two distinct parts of life. But what I hear you saying there is that it's almost like that veil is coming down, and what's happening in our personal destiny is actually very much linked to like our professional destiny as well. And I guess what we actually mentioned in the call promo, that like business can actually become a tool for self-actualizing. So actually having both business and personal totally linked and totally worked on and expressed in a way that helps people to deliver what it is that they've come to give the world.
Yeah, well, it becomes one. Obviously, you've got to have personal boundaries in terms of the amount of work you're doing, especially if you're running your own business, which is always a challenge for most business owners to maintain. I know all about that myself. But when the business is your passion, then it's no longer work in the normal sense. It's like I do a 9-to-5, then I forget about it and I come home. It's more like it's a natural extension of my essence out in the world. And it's no longer just work. It's more like spirit in action. It's play in action, and you get paid for it as well. All right. It's not saying it's not hard work at times, and that it doesn't require dedication and focus and all the normal attributes of running a business properly. But if you have the name of your business right, and I'll explain the three energies of a business. I've explained about for what it is for a human. The three core energies for a business are what we call the foundation, which is the core energies it's built upon, and that's actually what will set in motion the energies for the entire business. Our foundation is about the foundation of unity consciousness and sharing that flow in the world and the flow of knowledge, spiritual knowledge in the world. The ability is what the business will actually deliver. In our case, it's again sharing more knowledge and connection. And the success is what the business will actually achieve in the world. And our idea here is to really give people structure and connectedness. That those sort of things that we're trying to do here and to support them in the world to actually get onto their path. And so, and that totally fits in with who we are. So we are actualizing ourselves through running this business, through aligning with our spirit and surrendering into the flow of what we call the spiritual signature, that feeling. Spirit communicates through our feeling, that feeling inside us of what is right to do next. We don't have a business plan in the normal sense. We just go with what feels right. I could say to Amira, it's time to run this workshop. She'd say, well, I had the same feeling yesterday, so we go and run it. And then it works out well. People turn up. It all happens, despite the economic climate, because we're following the flow of spirit. And when we follow the flow of spirit, that's the path of least resistance. When we surrender in the now moment to whatever feels right, then it all happens much more easily. We don't have to force or push or apply strong business process to different things to make them happen. Because if they're not meant to happen, then there's no point in doing it because it's a waste of effort. And if they are meant to happen, it all just open up. I'll give you an example. I've been putting out an affirmation for taking this work out into the business world, and then I've been doing it for about a month, and then if you remember, Damien, on Monday, I think it was, you said to me, well, why don't we just do this call? Because we arranged this at the last minute. And I thought, it's happening, so let's get on with it. So I rearranged my schedule, and here we are.
Cool. I absolutely agree with that entirely. Now, Nicholas, as I mentioned earlier on, we've had questions come in from all around the world, so I just thought I'd kick off with some of them now. I'm just going to start off with Paula, who's in South Africa, and Paula asks, how do you discover your soul's destiny?
Well, when we do a soul contract reading, Paula, the product of all this context, of the karmic patterns, the talents which you bring forth to overcome them, and the goals that you're trying to reach, that produces the soul destiny, the overall purpose of the lifetime. And when we discover what that is, often it touches us at a very deep level. And then it's sort of like a validation for all the things we've felt, and maybe never verbalized to anyone, perhaps not even fully to ourselves, because it seems like too amazing that this could be why I'm here. And hearing the truth of the soul destiny can be very healing. It's like, my life is valid. All this experience hasn't been in some great cosmic accident. I'm here for a reason. I'm here as part of a small part of divine intelligence, and connected to that to bring about, bring my gift forward to help everyone else. And when we feel connected to a greater whole, then it's a very comforting feeling. We're not all alone after all.
Excellent. Thanks, Paula, for that question. Now I've got a question from John, who's in the United Kingdom, and John asks, how do I overcome blocks that are suppressed, so I'm not consciously aware of them?
In the soul contract, the karmic patterns will reveal And the goal issues will also be revealed clearly. And sometimes I find people can't relate to them at a very deep level or at all because they may not be consciously aware of what's going on. But that will name all the suppressed parts. And because we can name them and bring light consciousness to them, then often people will start to acknowledge, well, that is there. And then they start to own it, which is very important. Owning a pattern is the first stage. And then healing tools and processes can be brought to bear to actually enable us to unsuppress, to break through protection systems which prevent us from accessing these patterns. And we've only suppressed them just so we can stay sane and conscious and stay on an even keel. It's just the nature of the human ego is just to try and maintain stability, even if it means we can't feel a lot of issues. But these do need to be brought up and cleared and integrated, and the gift taken from them for us to move forward.
Great. Okay, this one's from Karen, who's in the United Kingdom. And Karen asks, coaching has moved towards niching. I have been coaching for 8 years and have both testimonials and a profile that people tell me are impressive. Niching is not my sole contract. I want to continue to coach clients on whatever their most pressing challenges are. I have some ideas myself on making this happen. How do I go against common wisdom and do what I do best without going down the conventional marketing or even the law of attraction route?
Well, as I was saying earlier on in the piece, the key is where are you, Karen, in terms of accessing the core physical and emotional karmic or challenge patterns that your soul's put in place. Because as you start to reach a place of emotional mastery or integration of these patterns and they start to turn into the gifts, the gold you offer to the world, what happens then is that people will be attracted to you just naturally and unconsciously usually for you to share that gift with them because you have, say, worked through the ability to or the blockage initially of showing your real self, for example, to the world, and then others who want to do the same thing will be drawn to you. So common wisdom is just a what we call a groupthink process where if everyone says something enough, everyone starts to believe it, even if it's not true, which happens a lot in the Matrix here. And so just because everyone says it doesn't mean you can't go and deliver your work to those who have the most pressing challenges because they will come anyway. And so it's very much about focusing on what are my gifts out of the challenges I'm facing in my life and delivering those because they will form the heart of your business as it has for the business Almira and I run. And that's the most powerful tool we have is to deliver our gifts which have been earned, which we've had to work for quite a long time. And then when they are ready to go, ready to be delivered, people will come. And so it will be by the law of attraction. And it's a question of finding out, well, what is the niche market of people who want that gift and find out where those people hang out. Oh, nowadays it's on the internet, it's on social media, Facebook. Find those people because you know, they're looking for the gift somewhere and they'll be talking about it somewhere. David Angeles tells me that 90% of conventional marketing is a waste of money, and I'd agree because we've tried that. But the niche marketing into that group of people you're after to work with, that'll work a lot better.
Absolutely, and I guess it comes back to that hologram as well, that we're not separate from our businesses and actually looking what's coming from internal and wants to be expressed on the external as well.
Yeah.
And just lining up whatever conversation that you're having with people to make sure that it's very obvious and that people can step forward.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, this one's from Juzianne in France, and she asks, is love and business compatible? I go from one to the other and would love to know how to balance both and align with my soul's destiny. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to say something a bit more radical here, that they're the same thing if you're in a spiritual business, and that the love of your soul, which it wants to bring its gift to the world, forms the basis for a spiritual practice, a spiritual or alternative or service-based business. And it's about how you translate that love into a tangible product or service which is going to help others awaken or whatever your purpose is, Josiane. And so it's just about allowing it to come out in its own natural way and flow into your business. And then, again, because if it's your deepest passion to do that, then that will naturally attract those who wish to partake of that gift. And as long as and the maximum flow of love from the soul comes when you're aligned with the soul destiny, and that's through self-healing, it's through, we use a name optimization process, and obviously we're talking about aligning the foundation abilities and success of the business to the birth name and the optimal name, so everything flows as a channel, a vessel for that love to manifest out through your business to all those who are going to be served by that and that specific niche that you're working with.
Cool. Thanks, Julianne, for that question, and great answer, Nicholas. This one comes from Rachel, and Rachel's in the United Kingdom, and Rachel asks, I want as many people to be able to access my service, which is aligned with my purpose to improve the lives of others. This means I'm reluctant to charge a fee, yet I know I need to improve my income. How do you advise people to resolve this seeming conflict of being of service to the world and creating a prosperous business?
There's an old-fashioned healing sort of thought form or belief that healing should be free because it comes from God, comes from spirit. But actually, down here on earth, whenever someone comes for a healing or a service of any kind, actually, it doesn't have to be spiritual, there's an implied contract into energetically and legally as well.
Mm.
And under energetic and actual 3D contract law, there needs to be something of value exchanged both ways that the party receiving considers to be of value. And so in charging for your service, Rachel, what you feel is right for you to receive, you will then allow the energy of your service to flow fully to your client. If you deny them that exchange because you feel you shouldn't charge them, you're actually denying them the service because they won't fully appreciate what you've delivered to them because they haven't exchanged for it.
Mm.
So it's a question of, and there's always a big question, well, what should that fee be? It's something which can only really be felt. And if you feel like you feel satisfied at the end of delivering a service or a product once you've received, it could be money or it could just be an energy exchange in terms of you do one thing and they do something else in exchange, then you've set the right fee. If you're feeling drained, it means you haven't charged enough. If you're feeling like you've done them in, then you've charged them too much. And that can only come from trial and error, really. Because each of us views the energetic value of something differently, and it's about meeting in the middle where you both feel, yes, that's a reasonable deal. Because when we charge properly for a service, then actually people value it and they get the most from it. And so actually, the conflict is only in a misunderstanding of how exchange energetically works.
Mm.
And a prosperous business will be created then because you're valuing yourself, and the more you look after yourself, the more attractive you become to others.
Mm. And it's very interesting, like the concept of actually denying the person you're giving the service to an opportunity to actually freely give back to you, because I guess most people want to return the gifts that they receive in some way, shape or form. So by giving things away for free but by not having an exchange of value, like it almost prevents that from happening in a sense.
It does, yeah. Well, we have promotions where, you know, things are gifts are given, or to basically build trust and things like that, and that's a slightly different matter because that's done consciously by the whoever's selling that or promoting a business. But when it gets down to the main product being offered, there needs to be an exchange of some sort.
Mm. Mm.
Otherwise, you're not valuing yourself, and if the universe feels that you're not valuing yourself, then it's not going to send you so much more.
Great, that's a very valuable answer, because I know that's a very big challenge for lots of light workers and service workers. Now, I've got just one final question that I wanted to ask you, and this one actually comes from Rob in the United States. And Rob asks, what if I don't have a business? I'm trapped in a job working for someone else, trapped because of my financial constraints and my obligations to my family. How can I access my soul's purpose?
Well, we can access that purpose through a soul contract reading, the first question to Paula. It's about seeing where you are, Rob, on your path in terms of actualizing that purpose. And then finding out, well, what gives you passion in terms of deep down? What would you really like to share? What are your real gifts that you want to share with the world, which will come out of your karmic patterns? And it'll become clear from the overall chart. They're working out, well, from where you are now, how can you start to share that gift with the world? And that may begin to form the seed of a business. You know, it's quite a jump to go from a lot of family responsibilities, mortgages and bills every month to just creating a new business. But things can be started at the weekend and to try things out, to see what works and what doesn't. Jobs can be turned into part-time jobs sometimes, and then it gives you another day or two initially to actually start this business and then to get it up and running. And if you're fully aligned to delivering your gift, then the universe will turn up, and the opportunities to deliver more of that will come. And eventually, if it's meant to be, if that's in the order, that's in divine order of your soul, what it wants to create and experience, this business will happen. But it's got to come from within you. You've got to have that will to want to bring that gift to the world.
Cool, that's a great answer. And excellent question, Rob, as well. Thanks for that. Cool, Nicholas. Well, we're reaching the end of our hour, and I just wanted to take this moment to actually say thank you so much for sharing the amazing wealth of information that you have over the past 50 minutes. I've been taking notes furiously, actually, and it's almost like every time we actually chat, whether it's on a call like this or just personally, I always feel like I move or walk away from that exchange so enriched from the gifts that you have to bring the world. And I guess for people listening at home, they're probably going to have a real yearning to explore further this work. And I was just wondering if you could tell people how they can actually find out more about your work, Nicholas, and how they can actually get in touch, and also if you have any programs coming up as well.
Well, the main source of our information is on our website, which is www.center, that's with an E-R, the American spelling, for, F-O-R, conscious, ascension.net, which is very specifically chosen because for us energy to be having maximum attractive force for light workers wanting to awaken. There's lots of information on there about the soul contract reading work and all the other services we offer for awakening and for self-healing. And then I'm offering to listeners a free 15-minute soul contract birth chart mini reading by phone or Skype anywhere in the world, so you can discover, well, what is your soul destiny and purpose? It'll give you a taster for the power of this work. We also offer, both Almira and I, full soul contract readings in person or by phone anywhere in the world, where we'll lay out the roadmap of your life, the flow of energy from the time you were born to where you are now, and to see, well, where is your soul taking you, so you can see where you want to go. And if you're involved in or thinking about setting up a business, we also offer soul contract business readings and consultations to help align you and your business towards maximizing success and fulfillment. We can take existing businesses and tune them up and their websites names to make it happen a lot more smoothly. And also we look at your own personal healing process and awakening process to see, well, what within you is actually blocking the business so you have a you can consciously work on all levels of your being and your business to actually get it really out there, which is why we're here. For the coaches and business consultants listening, or just practitioners in general, we also offer a training in the soul contract reading work, so you can use this tool and integrate it with your own existing work to have a map of where your clients are going. And we have a lot of business consultants work with us and coaches, and they come for this work. And we're teaching a level one workshop on the 23rd to the 26th of March this year in the UK, which is how to do birth chart readings. And then we will also teach a level two probably in the summer, which is about relationship readings, overlay readings. Basically, it means what are the effects of different relationships, which we create to have more context to grow, grow through, and what are the effects of different names that we use, how to optimize our name to maximize the actualization of the soul destiny. And then in probably late this year or early 2011, we'll teach the work we've been talking about today, which is how to do soul contract business readings, which is how to do the whole tune-up process for someone from their birth chart all the way through to actually making their business flow much more smoothly. And so they can manifest their purpose here through their business. And we also offer teacher trainings in this work, people who actually want to teach it. So we offer a whole range of things here to bring that aligning consciousness of spirit into everyday life, both personally in our relationships and in business as well. And this can actually apply to normal 3D business as well. I've had principals of different companies come who are into this work, use it to actually sort out their management structures and business names and work out, well, how do we solve these issues which nothing else has been to be able to touch.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's like a phenomenal thing to bring into a business, and also like a phenomenal thing to add to a toolkit. Like if you are at home running a business that's bringing more consciousness to the world, with a coach, a healer, just to have these tools in your toolkit to really deepen the level of service you can offer your clients, like it's absolutely amazing. Now, also, I just wanted to share that I personally had my soul contract read both on a personal and professional level, and I guess it was a real mixture of delight for me, I guess, in terms of really having confirmed things that I was already consciously aware of. It was lovely to get that confirmation back from the reading, but also bringing to light things that were sitting in my unconscious as well about my business. So from both of those angles, I found the reading absolutely invaluable, and would certainly encourage everyone to take Nicholas up on that very generous offer of a free mini reading, 15-minute consultation. It would be well worth your time and energy. Excellent. So we've literally come to the end of the hour, Nicholas, and I just wanted to thank you once again for sharing your wisdom. And I was just wondering if you had any final words to offer people to bring the call to a close.
Just know that you're in the perfect place in your life where you are now, even though it's perfect, it's where you need to be. It doesn't mean you have to stay there. And within that situation, there are gifts to be found, tools to be found, means to moving beyond that to the next space you're here to be in your life. It's about being open to what life is showing you in that moment, what that context is showing you, so you can claim the gifts of the soul to move forward. And nothing's gone wrong. It's just the way life unfolds. And in accepting the situation as it is, that actually starts to unlock it, so we can actually move forward to the gifts, to the good, to the goodies that we all seek. So there is always a way forward. There's always a way through a situation.
Great. Fantastic words to close on. So, well, thank you once again, Nicholas, and thank you to everyone at home. We've had some phenomenal questions come in this week, as we do every week, and I just wanted to just thank and acknowledge everyone at home for sharing this process. It's wonderful that we can come together all over the world to have a regular space to commune and to learn and to grow together. And for those of you at home who would like to listen to this recording again, it will be made available on the People You Should Meet website for free tomorrow. Also, if you feel that this work could touch or inspire a friend, a colleague, a loved one, by all means, please do take that first step forward and share this work freely with all that you come into contact with. Like I'll certainly be listening to this recording more than once, so I encourage you all to do the same. Great. So thanks once again, Nicholas. It's been a pleasure once again to have you on the program, and we look forward to having a chat on the program again soon.
Thank you, Damien, for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Cool. Take care, everyone.